By listening to this audio, you are agreeing to the terms and conditions found on drmackenziebrooks.com.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Mackenzie Brooks here. Welcome to Chapter 10 of your chosen web workshop for women, Cherry Pits for Our Minds, Women's Wicked Quickening, A Call to Action, brought to you by drmackenziebrooks.com, your source for continuous development and lifelong learning. Each of the 13 Cherry Pits for Our Minds has been handpicked by me from the many thousands of hours of conversational journeys that I have had and continue to have with the most incredible women as their coach, counselor, and workshop facilitator. I chose the name Web Workshop intentionally. During each chapter, I will be stopping at different points in my presentation and inviting you to reflect upon certain questions. When I do, you might want to pause the recording while you reflect upon your thoughts and start it again when you are ready. You might consider having something close at hand that you can use to write down your own thoughts. I am inviting you to think of our time together as an online workshop. Now, I would like to introduce you to the 10th Cherry Pit for Our Minds. Cherry Pit number 10. Just because something is hard does not mean something is wrong. Just because something is hard does not mean something is wrong. I'm going to now invite you to once again get comfortable, perhaps close your eyes, and I will offer you some thoughts for you to entertain in your mind's theater, in your imagination. Go ahead, get comfortable. It is nighttime, and in the darkness, you can see a magnificent building off in the distance, outlined by strings of beautiful, twinkling lights. The shape of this magnificent building is clearly outlined in the darkness by these beautiful, twinkling lights. I'm inviting you to see in your imagination, in your mind's theater, this magnificent building outlined in the darkness by these beautiful twinkling lights. What is the color of these lights? Are they one color? Are they different colors? Please notice how these lights twinkle, give light, bring warmth, and perhaps even joy into the darkness of the night. Now I'm inviting you to notice how each single tiny bulb, how each single tiny orb of light, when joined together with many other tiny bulbs, join forces and all work together to create such beauty and light for our eyes to be drawn to in the darkness of the night. I'm now inviting you to follow along this string of lights with your eyes and observe where there are light bulbs who are dark, whose light, for whatever reason, is not shining. Can you see the gaps in the illuminated outline of this magnificent building where the bulbs are dark, where the bulbs are not letting their light shine? I invite you to notice how your eyes are naturally drawn to the patches of darkness in the string of lights. Please notice how your eyes are naturally drawn to the bulb whose light does not shine. There may be thousands of bulbs whose light shines brightly for us to behold, and yet our eyes are naturally drawn to the gaps, to the absence of light, where the bulbs are dark. The bulbs are there. They are in their rightful place, and yet they are not shining their light for us to see. Now, when you're ready, I'm inviting you to please return to the room that you are in and to open your eyes, and I will continue my exploration of Cherry Pit number 10. Just because something is hard does not mean that something is wrong. I'm now inviting us to invite him for tea to reflect upon and entertain the thought that we women are no different than the light bulbs along those strings of light. When our light is not shining, the absence of our light is visible, for there is only darkness where our light is meant to shine. And I ponder, what is needed for us to activate our light? What is needed to ignite us so that our light shines forth, so that our light illuminates the darkness that we are born here on this planet to illuminate? We know that our light is there within us, and yet some of us do not let our light shine forth. How come? Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Our playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us. It's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. This famous passage that I've just read is written by Marianne Williamson, a spiritual activist and author, lecturer, and founder of the Peace Alliance, a grassroots campaign supporting legislation currently before Congress to establish a U.S. Department of Peace. FYI, for some reason, this famous passage is often erroneously attributed to the inaugural address of Nelson Mandela. I am inviting us to invite him for tea to reflect upon and entertain the thought seed that no one else can fill the gap of darkness where our light is meant to shine. No one else can do it for us. We have to do it for ourselves. I am now going to share with you one more of my favorite quotes. This one is by Martha Graham. There is a vitality, a life force, an energy, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all time, this expression is unique. And if you block it, it will never exist through any other medium, and it will be lost. Each and every one of us has our space to fill, our darkness to illuminate, our light to shine on what is hidden in the darkness. It is what we're born on this earth at this time to be and to do. It is what life is calling upon us to be and to do. It is our role to fulfill. It is our job to do. If we do not do it, if we do not do what we are called to do, if we do not answer our calling, then it will not get done. Whatever it is that we are called to do, which activates our light to shine, will not happen unless we answer our calling. No one else can be and do what we came here to be and do. It is ours alone to do. It is our own uniqueness that we are meant to manifest here on our beautiful planet. I'm now inviting us to think about a 1,000-piece puzzle. There are many pieces in this puzzle, and every piece is important, and no one piece is more important than any other piece. Every piece is necessary, and no one piece is more necessary than any other piece. Every piece is essential, and no one piece is more essential than any other piece. Every piece is valuable, and no one piece is more valuable than any other piece in this 1,000-piece puzzle. Every piece in the puzzle is required, and every piece is needed to be in its rightful place. Otherwise, there are gaps. There are empty spaces waiting to be filled by its rightful piece. The puzzle is incomplete until each piece is in its rightful place. Our eyes are drawn to these empty spaces, and we feel a natural desire to find the piece that is missing and help this piece find its way to where it belongs, so that what is meant to be can become. And so it is true with us women. Each of us are called to be in our rightful place, to answer the call that each of us are here to answer, to allow our light to shine as bright, as big, and as bold as we are meant to shine. I'm now going to stop and invite you to reflect upon the following questions. Question number one, do you have a sense, a knowing, that there is a purpose for you being here on our beautiful planet at this time? That you are here for a reason, and there is something that you came here to do. That you are being called to be and to do something with your life. Question number two. If yes, what is it that you know is your purpose? What is it that you sense you are here to do? What is it that you are being called to do? In chapter 9, I invited us to invite in for tea to reflect upon and entertain cherry pit number 9. We end up with whatever we tolerate. I reflected upon how we tolerate all kinds of things for all kinds of reasons. One of the reasons that we may tolerate something that we really do not want to end up living with is that it is hard work to learn, download, and update into our GPS for life something different. Something more in alignment with who we are meant to be, with who we choose and desire to be, and with who we are being called to be at this time in our life's journey. Learning what we choose to learn, download, and update into our GPS for life requires hard work, requires focused and diligent work, and requires us to step into the learner role. Requiring us to make mistakes, requiring us to venture forth into the unknown, and requiring us to learn what we need to learn in order to learn to think our own thoughts. This means that we will think, speak, and act differently from how we were before we updated our GPS for life with our own chosen thoughts. This also means that we will be different from how most others think and act. And, as I reflected upon earlier, most women have a deep abiding fear of being different from others. Our fear of being different is that it means that there is something wrong with us, and we will be rejected, and even labeled as unstable, and perhaps crazy. It takes immense commitment and courage for any woman to think, speak, and act from her own thoughts. As we know from our previous reflections on adversity, whether chosen and unchosen, when life presents us with that which we do not desire, when life happens after we make our plans, we are compelled to leave Familiarville and enter Unfamiliarville. It is at these moments in time that we lose something. What we lose is our innocence. We are also required to let go of our illusion of what we think life is like based on what we have learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life as we had journeyed through our life so far. I looked up the word illusion in the online edition of the Merriam-Webster Dictionary as I was writing this section. Illusion is defined as something that looks or seems different from what it really is, something that is false or not real, but seems to be true or real. Illusion is also defined as an incorrect idea, an idea that is based on something that is not true. This loss of an illusion, leaving that which is familiar to us, and finding ourselves journeying through the process of being disillusioned and entering territory which I call unfamiliarville, is a difficult time for most of us, especially the first time. In fact, it can really rock our cork in the pond of life. It can be devastating. The loss of an illusion, like any other loss, launches us on an inner journey into the unknown, sometimes the known unknown, and sometimes the unknown unknown. As with any loss we go through, the change event generally occurs in the outer world, and the transition process we go through occurs in our inner world. Transition is when we go through an inner process of leaving what I call familiarville and finding ourselves journeying through what I call unfamiliarville. The letting go of an illusion is a very personal experience. We often think that we are the only ones who have ever gone through it. One of the how comes for this is that most of us do not talk about having been disillusioned, about having our illusions shattered, and about finding ourselves being swept along on this inner journey that being disillusioned launches within us. The six transition stages that I have observed that we go through when our illusions are being shattered include the following. Please note that there is no real order to these stages, as we tend to weave and tweave back and forth between them. And please understand that based on my observations, there's nothing linear about these transitional stages either. I'm now going to explore with you the six stages of the transition process that I have observed that we go through when our illusions are being shattered, when we discover that what we think is very different from what is actually going on. I call the first transition stage in the disillusionment process, say it ain't so. Say it ain't so. This stage includes thoughts and feelings of denial, disbelief, shock, and disorientation. These are the kind of statements that we make when what is happening is not possible to us, when what is happening does not fit within the illusion of our reality, which we have learned, downloaded, and updated into our GPS for life as we journey through our lives up until now. What is happening does not fit with our cognitive map of how we think life works. In our GPS for life, things are not supposed to work out this way. We are now in the early stages of discovering that our operating system for life, through which we live our lives, does not accurately reflect the reality of the world we are currently navigating. I call the second transition stage in the disillusionment process negotiating with reality. Negotiating with reality. The following statements are often said during this stage. They don't know what they're doing. If they knew the impact of what they're doing, they would stop it. They would change it. We just need to tell them the error of their ways, and they will do something about it. There was a lot of negotiating with reality at the beginning of the women's movement many years ago, when women tried to tell other women, men, elected officials, and anyone else who would listen about the impact of patriarchy on us, such as what it was like to earn less than men when we both were doing the same work. Women started writing letters, organizing, protesting, writing books, and discovering that, well, they actually did know what they were doing, and they were doing it anyway. It is at these moments in time when the reality that they do know what they are doing and they are doing it anyway sinks in that our illusion of whoever is doing this to us must not know what they're doing and will of course stop once we tell them shatters. It is when this new reality shatters our previous illusion that we can become confused, disoriented, and find ourselves floundering as we are swept along on our inner journey, torn away from our illusion called Familiarville, and journeying deeper into this new reality of disillusionment, what I call Unfamiliarville. I currently see a similar process unfolding in regards to citizens speaking up and taking action to protect and preserve the life-supporting and life-sustaining ecosystems necessary to support and sustain life here on our Mother Earth. Most citizens start out fully believing that the decision-makers do not know what they are doing. Most of us believe that once we point out to the decision-makers the detrimental impact of their decisions on water, fish, soil, air, humans, and other life forms, that the decision-makers will say, "Oh, whoops, sorry, my mistake," and course-correct whatever permit they have approved. We attend public meetings, post comments, write letters, organize and gather in legal protests, only to discover that, well, the decision-makers actually do know what they're doing. They do know that a detrimental impact will eventually occur from their decisions, and they are doing it anyway. They call it acceptable risk. Rather than operating from the precautionary principle, decisions are being made by our elected governments who decide that the risks associated with their decisions are acceptable to them and to the corporations that they now represent, that is. It is our families and our communities whose expressed democratic wishes are being ignored, who live with the consequences and the outcomes of their decisions. Those responsible generally do not live with the consequences of their decisions. It is other people living in other communities who have no right to say no to these decisions, who are the ones who will live with the risk and the legacy of these decisions. And of course, the generations who come after us will also live with the risk and the legacy of these decisions. Most of us have no idea that this is how things operate, and that this is the reality that we currently live in. Many of us still believe, still operate within the illusion that we have Father Knows Best governments who are watching over us and making decisions that are in the best interest of our families and our community's health and well-being. When the illusion that we have Father Knows Best governments looking after our families and our community's health and well-being shatters, is when citizens, like the women in the women's movement before them, discover that what we think and what is are two different realities. We discover that it is we who do not know what is actually going on, not the decision makers. I call the third transition stage in the disillusionment process, fool me once. Fool me once. Illusions are generally shattered when we realize that what we have learned and downloaded into our GPS for life does not accurately reflect the reality of the world that we currently find ourselves navigating, such as when we discover that someone we trust is intentionally misleading and deceiving us, such as when we discover that some entity, such as our government and corporations, are intentionally misleading and deceiving us. During this third stage, we are now aware that what we thought was going on and what is actually going on are two different realities. We may be experiencing feelings of foolishness, embarrassment, shame, and powerlessness at being so naive, at being so innocent, at being so unknowing, at being so unaware, and for believing the illusion, hook, line, and sinker. We find ourselves reeling from the shock and disorientation which occurs within us when we are blindsided by this new reality, while simultaneously experiencing the shattering of our previously fully believed illusion. The following statements are often said during this stage. How did I get into this movie and how do I get out of it? I want my old life back. I want to go home. It is during this stage that the shattering of our illusion can become very personal for us. When feelings of embarrassment, shame, and powerlessness join forces, they sometimes do transform into feelings of rage, outrage, and righteous indignation, which can be healthy for us. For feelings of rage, outrage, and righteous indignation often fire us up and motivate us to do something, to take action. Whereas for many of us, feelings of embarrassment, shame, and powerlessness often overwhelm us and immobilize us. It is at this time when we feel ourselves being tossed about like a pebble in our surging waves of embarrassment, shame, and powerlessness that some of us turn inward, and what we think and feel festers within like a painful boil. At some point in time, this festering boil erupts, spewing forth what is festered within in unexpected, often undesired, and at times tragic ways. As citizens, we increasingly find ourselves compelled to speak up and take action to protect our families, our communities, our Mother Earth's life support ecosystems, and the generations who come after us. From our own elected governments and the corporations that our governments now pander to, most citizens have no desire whatsoever to do this work, to take these actions. We do not want to have to do the job that our government is elected to do. We have our own lives to manage. Our preference is that our governments represent and act in the best interest of the citizens who elected them, not in the best interest of the corporations who donated large sums of money to help them get elected. As grown-ups, we are compelled to speak up and take actions once we find ourselves being ignored, marginalized, dismissed as NIMBYs, not in my backyard, and effectively made powerless to affect our families and our community's health and well-being from the very governments elected by us to represent our best interests. We can now add feelings of betrayal and being played for a fool to that potentially toxic emotional cocktail of embarrassment, shame, and powerlessness. Given that our current economy is intrinsically enmeshed in the extraction, trashing, and contamination of our life-supporting ecosystems, given that fewer and fewer people make more and more money by trashing and contaminating these very ecosystems, which are the sole support systems for life here on our Mother Earth, and given that our elected governments now pander to the wants of corporations as payback for their donated money, and no longer are looking after the very citizens and communities they have been elected to represent and serve, we citizens are now compelled to make a choice. The choice we are compelled to make is, do we sit by and watch our planet's life support ecosystems be systematically trashed and contaminated by those who are abdicating their responsibilities and misusing their positional power so that few can have more? Or do we exercise our democratic rights and responsibilities by speaking up, taking action, and standing up together as grown-ups on behalf of the children, both in the present and in the future? We are all making this choice, regardless of whether we like it, regardless of whether we want to, and regardless of whether we are aware that we are making this choice. We all have this same choice to make, and we are making these choices every day by what we say yes to and what we say no to, by what we do and what we do not do. I call the fourth transition stage in the disillusionment process, I'm so angry I could spit. I'm so angry I could spit. Anger is a double-edged sword. It can strengthen our determination to take action in the outer world and see this action through to completion. Anger can also be turned inward against ourselves and effectively immobilize us. Once again, I'm advocating that a counselor is an effective resource for us to access if we find that our anger is now being turned inward on ourselves and impacting our ability to carry on with our daily responsibilities and activities. Being betrayed, being exploited, being dismissed, being marginalized, being made invisible, being made powerless and impotent to effect change, to protect our families, being made into a loser by not knowing and not realizing before how naive, how trusting, how uninformed, and also perhaps how we have been manipulated and used without knowing that this was happening, is a recipe for anger, rage, outrage, and righteous indignation. Some of the hard choices we each are compelled to make during this transition stage include, will I take action? What kind of action will I take? Am I taking action to seek revenge? Am I taking action for constructive change? Is there a way to do both? Can I take action to create constructive change and hold those responsible and their supporters accountable for their decisions and actions? What we do with these choices is up to us. FYI, we are all making these choices even when we are unaware that we are doing so. The following statements are often said during this stage. I want them to suffer the way that I have suffered. I want them to pay. They can't get away with this. This is not right. I call the fifth transition stage in the disillusionment process navigating through rocky waters. Navigating through rocky waters. During this fifth stage, we are now aware that what we previously thought and the reality of what is are two different things. We have finished negotiating with this new reality, and we have discovered that our actions to effect constructive change do not seem to be working, because those responsible know what they are doing and intend to keep doing it. We have learned a great deal about this new reality we are currently navigating and have updated what we have learned into our GPS for life. And we really don't like this new now. We are missing and grieving what was. We are missing Familiarville. We are missing what our life was like before our illusion was shattered. During this transition stage, we can find ourselves floundering in an ocean of caustic thoughts and choking on painful feelings of bitterness, cynicism, and sarcasm. We toss out words that cut like knives as we attempt to shatter continued naivety and innocent illusions in others. We are flooded with feelings of bitter sorrow, loss, and rage, which we may mask in callous indifference and snideness. The following statements are often said during this stage. I don't care anymore. It doesn't matter. What's the point? It makes no difference. The deck is stacked against us. We are defeated before we even get started. You are so naive. It is at these times that we may wear out our welcome with our friends, for we are angry and bitter and cynical and snide. And we talk about it, 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 until those closest to us tune us out and may even avoid us. We have all met individuals who are stuck in this stage of cynicism, sarcasm, bitterness, and snideness. They are sharp-tongued, difficult to be around, very pointy, and their bitterness is like a shield to keep us away from their pain, their loss, their confusion, and their inability to make sense of the world that they find themselves navigating through. They are truly lost. Every time I meet a bitter person, a cynical person, a snide person, I look into their eyes. For I know that I am likely in the presence of a caring, perhaps sensitive human being. For if they did not care so much, they would not be so devastated by what they are learning as they journey through the transitional stages of disillusionment. This person is now stuck. This person is now shipwrecked on the rocks of bitterness, on the rocks of cynicism, and remains partway through the inner transitional journey which accompanies the loss of an illusion. This person is now adrift on the pond of life in the unknown unknown without their outboard motor. FYI, if we do find ourselves floundering in this stage, I am once again advocating that now is a good time to seek out a counselor, for our foundation has been rocked and we have lost our way. It is life essential that we update our GPS for life to reflect life as it actually is, to reflect the now that we find ourselves currently navigating. I call the sixth and final transition stage in the disillusionment process eyes that see. Eyes that see. It is only when the web of illusion is torn away from our eyes, it is only after we experience the loss of illusion that we can see life as it truly is and break free from the stories that we have been told, learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life, which remain unassessed until life happens. This is when we discover that life is not as we were told, that life is not as we wish it to be, and that life is not as we hope it to be. As painful as it is only when we have lost our innocence and let go of our illusions that we have access to what we require in order to become the thought leaders that we are meant to become and who are so desperately needed at this time on our planet. Life's learnings and life's wisdoms replace the loss of innocence and the letting go of our illusions. And these wisdoms are now available to us to learn, download, and update into our GPS for life. The loss of our innocence and the letting go of our illusions are the price of admission into becoming a thought leader, into becoming a wise woman, into becoming a grown-up, and into assuming a rightful place and role that we were born here on this planet to become. For it is only when we can see life as it is, as it truly is, that we can begin to assess, strategize, and update our GPS for life so that we are empowered to navigate life as it is. We now have our outboard motor on our cork in the pond of life, and when the winds of life blow us around, we have our motor to put us along in our chosen direction. We now have choice about who we want to be and how we want to behave when we find ourselves face to face with the realities of life. We are now called upon to decide what we choose to do given what we now know. Life is both sweet and sometimes sour. Life is both soft and succulent and sometimes hard and bitter. And cherries are the same. Cherries are both sweet and sometimes sour. Cherries are both soft and succulent and sometimes hard and bitter. And yet, at the very core of each cherry, whether soft and hard and sweet and bitter, resides the pit. And in every cherry pit resides the future. Just because something is hard does not mean something is wrong. It is up to us to decide, to choose for ourselves what we are going to do with what we now know. That is how life works. When we journey through the sour, when we journey through the hard, and when we journey into the bitter, is when we discover that at the very core exists a doorway which opens for us and allows us to venture forth into the future. When we embrace life's realities, we open the door to another consciousness called life's wisdoms. And it is life's wisdoms which empower us to join forces and co-create together life for children 7 generations in the future. I'm now inviting you to reflect upon the following questions. Question number 1. How come the thought seeds in cherry pit number 10, just because something is hard does not mean something is wrong, are important? Question number 2. How come the thought seeds in cherry pit number 10, just because something is hard does not mean something is wrong, are important to me? And question number 3. How come the thought seeds in cherry pit number 10, just because something is hard does not mean something is wrong, are important to women, to grandmothers, to mothers, to daughters, to sisters, to aunts? We are now at the end of chapter 10 of your chosen web workshop for women, Cherry Pits for Our Minds, where I invited you to invite in for tea and entertain number 10 of 13 hand-picked cherry pits. Cherry pit number 10 is, just because something is hard does not mean something is wrong. In closing, I'm inviting you to reflect upon the thoughts that I have entertained in this chapter. First, though, I would like to remind you of the cherry pits for our minds that I have introduced you to so far. Cherry pit number 1, we learn what we live and live what we learn until we do something about it. Cherry pit number 2, we are all going to drop the ball and make mistakes. Cherry pit number 3, listen to understand, not to agree and disagree. Cherry pit number 4, we don't know what we don't know. Cherry pit number 5, life happens after we make our plans. Cherry pit number 6, think our own thoughts. Cherry pit number 7, adversity is life's teacher. Cherry pit number 8, fear is our ally. Cherry pit number 9, we end up with whatever we tolerate. Cherry pit number 10, just because something is hard does not mean something is wrong. Thoughts we reflected upon and entertained during this chapter include: our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We women are like the bulbs in a string of lights. When our light is not shining, the absence of our light is visible. For there is only darkness where our light is meant to be. And I ponder, what is needed for us to activate our light? Each and every one of us has our space to fill, our darkness to illuminate, our light to shine on what is hidden in the darkness. That is our responsibility. That is our role to fulfill. That is our job to do. That is what we were born on this earth at this time to be and to do. And that is what life is calling upon us to be and to do. It is only when the webs of illusion are torn away from our eyes, it is only after we experience the loss of an illusion, it is only then that we can see life as it truly is and break free from the stories that we have been told, learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life. We discover that life is not as we were told, that life is not as we wish it to be, and that life is not as we hope it to be, that good things do happen to bad people, and bad things do happen to good people. For it is only when we have lost our innocence and our illusions that these losses are replaced with what we require to become the thought leaders that we are meant to become and who are so desperately needed on our planet at this time. Life experience and wisdom replaces the loss of innocence and the letting go of illusion. The loss of our innocence and the letting go of our illusions are the price of admission into wisdom, into becoming a thought leader, into becoming a wise woman, into assuming our rightful place, and into the role that we were born here on this planet to assume. For it is only when we can see life as it is, as it truly is, that we can begin to assess, strategize, and update our GPS for life so that we are empowered to navigate through life as it actually is. Life is both sweet and sometimes sour. Life is both soft and succulent and sometimes hard and bitter. And cherries are the same. And yet, at the very core of each cherry, whether soft and hard, sweet and bitter, resides the pit. And in every cherry pit resides the future. Just because something is hard does not mean that something is wrong. It is up to us to decide, to choose for ourselves what we are going to do with what we now know. And that is how life works. For it is when we journey through the sour, when we journey through the hard, and when we journey into the bitter that we discover that at the very core exists a doorway which opens for us and allows us to venture forth into the future, a future we create as we embrace another reality, as we open to another consciousness, as we open to another consciousness called life's wisdoms. And it is life's wisdoms which empower us to join forces and co-create together life for children 7 generations in the future. I'm inviting you to invite these thoughts in for tea and to entertain these thoughts, as you would a guest, knowing that these thoughts will leave, as all guests eventually do. And perhaps you might reflect upon these thoughts. Perhaps you might entertain these thoughts for yourself so that you can assess for yourself whether or not these thoughts resonate for you, whether or not these thoughts fit for you, whether or not these thoughts work for who and where you are at this time in your life's journey, given who you choose to be, and given who you were born here on this earth at this time to be. And if these thoughts do resonate for you, if these thoughts do fit for you, if these thoughts do work for you, then perhaps you might consider asking them to stay. I thank you for joining with me as I reflect upon these 13 hand-picked cherry pits for our minds. Goodbye for now.